Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing, are you ready to meet Jesus? Now, many of you know that God gave me a vision of hell that I wrote about in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Now, in this vision, the last words Jesus said to me was, "Tell them I am coming very, very soon." And then he repeated himself, "Tell them I am coming very, very soon." Now, as born-again believers, we know the Bible is clear that Jesus is coming back to rapture believers, bring judgment upon the wicked, and then rule and reign on the earth. Now, whether we believe in a pre-, mid-, or post-tribulation rapture is not as important as are we ready for his return?
Oh, Bill, that is one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves right now. I mean, as we look on the horizon, as we look at everything happening in the world today, we can see the time is short.
That's right.
And Jesus is coming back for his bride soon. You know, the Bible contains many scriptures also which discuss the Lord Jesus coming back as a thief in the night or unexpectedly, right? But we are, as believers, supposed to be watching and ready
right.
for his return. You know, 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." And also in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it states, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night."
That's right. But you know, as Christians, it should not overtake us as a thief. We are to be aware and watching and ready. So, you know, but those two verses that you just read, they both refer to the day of the Lord. Now, the Bible teacher, Hal Lindsey, explains what the phrase "the day of the Lord" means. And he says, quote, "People often confuse the day of the Lord and the rapture. A study of the day of the Lord in both the New and the Old Testament shows that it is not a single day, but an epoch or a period of time. It begins at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation, also known as Daniel's 70th week, and it ends at the end of the millennium. But the rapture happens before the day of the Lord."
Oh, that's an important distinction.
Thank God.
Yes, thank God. But that's an important distinction. It's a period of time
right.
that starts at the beginning of the 7 year tribulation and ends at the end of the millennium. That's interesting.
Yeah, so it's not just a single day.
Yes, exactly. You know, and a couple more verses, Bill, regarding Jesus coming back unexpectedly is in Revelation 3:3. And I love the letters to the churches where Jesus, that Jesus was speaking to the churches, which applies to any church today, right? And to ourselves right. personally. And what's so good and gracious about our God is he warns us first through the scriptures. And I love how he warns us so that we can turn to him and repent. And in Revelation 3:3, Jesus is warning the dead church, Sardis. And he says, "Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief."
Boy, that's clear.
And then also he says it in Revelation 16:15. Jesus says, "Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed." You know, and we know staying clothed in a spiritual sense means as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to stay in relationship with the Lord and live godly. And this is pointed out in Ephesians 5:8 and 1 John 2:28 as well.
That's really good. And I noticed, you know, repenting is what we should do first to not be overtaken as a thief, you know, to wake up.
Yes, and when we're in relationship with him, we're going to examine ourselves each day and examine our hearts, and we're going to know, you know, we know inside when we've sinned or said something wrong, done something wrong, and we can quickly ask his forgiveness and move forward.
Right. You know, it's interesting also, Revelation 3, verses 15 through 19, Jesus calls the Laodicean church poor and blind and naked, even though they think they are rich and in need of nothing. He instructs them to buy white garments from him so they will not be shamed by their nakedness. Now Jesus goes on to tell them, turn from your indifference and become enthusiastic about the things of God. In other words, be zealous and repent. So the bottom line is, if we don't obey God's word, we will be deceived.
Good point.
You know, Matthew Henry's commentary says, what a difference there was between the thoughts they had of themselves and the thoughts that Christ had of them. Doubtless, there are many in hell that once thought themselves to be in the way to heaven. They were without clothing and had neither garment or justification, nor that of sanctification. Their nakedness, both of guilt and pollution, had no covering.
Wow, that would be scary, right? To be living a lifestyle of sin when the Lord comes back.
Right. And here you think you're going to make it.
Yeah, and you think you're okay because you said a prayer years ago, but you're living completely contrary to him and denying him by how you live.
Right.
You know, and Matthew 22, Jesus is talking about the parable of the wedding feast. And in this parable, it's interesting that a man was at the feast who had on offensive garments or wasn't wearing the proper clothes. Now, he wore his own filthy rags, as Isaiah 64:6 states, or was wearing his own self-righteousness, thinking he could get into heaven, you know, just the way he was. And he was quickly ejected from the feast and cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't know how he got in there in the first place. The scripture doesn't reveal that to us.
Right.
But we can see that our own good works won't gain us entrance into heaven, number one. But also, number two is, neither will creating a God in our own mind that will overlook a sinful lifestyle because he is so-called loving.
Right.
You know, reinventing a God that doesn't exist.
And so many think their good works will get them into heaven, or that they are pretty good people in general. And yet, if we have one sin, one time in our life, that would exclude us from heaven.
You know, exactly. So. That's why Jesus came, you know, and died and rose again. So we have to trust in what he did at the cross.
That's right. That's right. We're not saved by our good works. We're saved by his grace and mercy. Ephesians 2:8-9 and Titus 3:5. You know, let's look at Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, about the parable of the 10 wise and foolish virgins. It says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Then verse 10 through 13 says, and while they went to buy, the foolish virgins, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So 50% were left behind. But all of them thought they were going.
That is really hits you, doesn't it? That statement you just made, 50% were left behind.
That's
but
right.
All of them thought they were going. You know, that Bill, that goes right along with Matthew 24, 40 and 41, where Jesus is talking about the two men in the field. One was taken and one was left. And two women will be grinding at the mill, and one was taken and one was left. Again, 50% left behind. You know, and the important question for each of us as followers of Jesus Christ is, am I ready? Am I ready to meet the Lord? I mean, would our heart condemn us if we face the Lord Jesus right now? We need to ask ourselves, do I need to repent of any sin, unforgiveness? You know, the scripture is clear that becoming a true believer in Jesus Christ includes a heart that is willing to turn from sin and surrender our lives to God.
That's right. So the result is a person is changed on the inside. And that's done by God's Spirit when you sincerely put your trust in Jesus Christ alone to cleanse you from all sin and save you from an eternity in hell. That's just the first step. Then you must follow Jesus and grow in your knowledge of Him.
And if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and asked forgiveness for your sin, Ephesians 2:12 states that you are without God and without hope in the world. However, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive His forgiveness and salvation today.
That's right. Today is the day of salvation. But secondly, if you call yourself a Christian, ask yourself, am I living a life that is pleasing to God? Am I lukewarm or indifferent towards God? Now, lukewarm can also be defined as having no time for God or pursuing other things in life as more important than the Lord. Right now, you have the opportunity to turn back to God.
And Bill, didn't Jesus say in Revelation 3 when He was speaking, it was at the Laodicean church, that because they were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, He would vomit them out of His mouth?
Right.
That doesn't sound too good.
No.
No.
That's for sure.
You know, but you're right. You know, right now, we each have an opportunity here to turn back to God. And if you'd like to do that, I'd just like to lead you in a prayer. You can pray this from your heart.
And you know, I want to say this right before you pray this prayer. This is so important for you to take the time now and really do this, because you don't know that you'll have tomorrow. And 1 second after you die, it'll be too late. You'll not have a second chance. You'd have an eternity in hell to regret your procrastination. Now's the time. You can say this prayer and receive Jesus into your heart and be saved and spend the eternity in heaven.
Yes, and it comes from your heart. So that's what God is looking at. And you'd have to say it sincerely and wanting to turn from sin. But if you'd like to do that, then just repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and He shed His blood for my sin. I believe He was buried and rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much that You gave Your life for me. I ask You to forgive me of my sin and forgive me of my indifference towards You. I choose to turn from sin and give You my life. I cannot do it with my own strength, but I receive Your grace and power to live a life pleasing to You. Right now, I choose to turn from sin, and I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for cleansing all my sin and past mistakes. I renounce the works of the devil, and I receive Your forgiveness. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit right now, and I thank You for Your grace, Your power, again, Lord, to live a life pleasing to You, to follow Your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you've done that, go tell somebody what you've done, because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. That is the wisest decision you could have ever made, receiving Jesus.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.